In April 1999, Delta Airlines and Air France suspended their flying partnership with Korean Air. In short order, the U.S. Army, which maintains thousands of troops in South Korea, forbade its personnel from flying with the airline. South Korea's safety rating was downgraded by the U.S. Federal Aviation Authority, and Canadian officials informed Korean Air's management that they were considering revoking the company's overflight and landing privileges in Canadian airspace. In the midst of the controversy, an outside audit of Korean Air's operations was leaked to the public. The 40-page report was quickly denounced by Korean Air officials as sensationalized and unrepresentative, but by that point, it was too late to save the company's reputation. The audit detailed instances of flight crews smoking cigarettes on the tarmac during refueling and in the freight hold while the plane was in the air. Crew read newspapers throughout the flight, the audit stated, often with newspapers held up in such a way that if a warning light came on, it would not be noticed. The report detailed bad morale, numerous procedural violations, and the alarming conclusion that training standards for the 747 Classic were so poor that there is some concern as to whether first officers on the Classic fleet could land the aircraft if the captain became totally incapacitated with normal abnormal conditions. By the time of the Shanghai crash, the Korean president, Kim Dae-jung, felt compelled to speak up. "The issue of Korean Air is not a matter of an individual company, but a matter of the whole country," he said. "Our country's credibility is at stake." Dae-jung then switched the presidential plane from Korean Air to its new arrival, Asiana. But then, a small miracle happened. Korean Air turned itself around. Today, the airline is a member in good standing of the prestigious SkyTeam Alliance. Its safety record since 1999 is spotless. In 2006, Korean Air was given the Phoenix Award by Air Transport World in recognition of its transformation. Today, aviation experts will tell you that Korean Air is as safe as any airline in the world. In this chapter, we're going to conduct a crash investigation, listen to the black box cockpit recorder, examine the flight records, look at the weather and the terrain and the airport conditions, and compare the Guam crash to another very similar plane crash, all in an attempt to understand precisely how the company transformed itself from the worst kind of outlier into one of the world's best airlines. It is a complex and sometimes strange story, but it turns on a very simple fact, the same fact that runs through the tangled history of Harlan and the Michigan students. Korean Air did not succeed, it did not right itself, until it acknowledged the importance of its cultural legacy. Plane crashes rarely happen in real life, the way they happen in the movies. Some engine part does not explode in a fiery bang. The rudder doesn't suddenly snap under the force of takeoff. The captain doesn't gasp, "Dear God," as he's thrown back against his seat. The typical commercial jetliner, at this point in its stage of development, is about as dependable as a toaster. Plane crashes are much more likely to be the result of an accumulation of minor malfunctions and extenuating circumstances. In a typical crash, for example, the weather is poor. Not terrible, necessarily, but bad enough that the pilot is under a little more stress than usual. In an overwhelming number of crashes, the plane is behind schedule, so the pilots are hurrying. In 52% of crashes, the pilot, at the time of the accident, has been awake for 12 hours or more, meaning that he's tired and not thinking straight. And 44% of the time, the two pilots have never flown together before, so they're not comfortable with each other.